Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to another episode of Tell Me Sis podcast featuring your two favorite sisters.
Alex.
And Kyla.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. It feels so weird recording at your place.
I know, right?
Like, when I started talking, it felt wrong. I was going to be like, wait, there's something off right now. We need to stop.
It's like when we recorded at Bel Air Tremblant. I felt the same way. I was like, this is so random.
I'm just so used to recording at my place now that I associate our podcast to my condo.
I know, same. Like having it's to go weird. Up your elevator to get there and everything.
Yeah.
We're doing it at my house today because we had a work day. Little business meeting for Tomo for the podcast, just like strategies, going over some things like business related boring crap, but
like finance stuff.
Yeah, but it was just easier if Kyla could come here because we needed Dan's help with certain things, and like obviously Arky was supposed to be at daycare today.
It's so funny because let's go back to what you were just saying about Arky in a sec, but me and my sister were laughing because we're not going to get into like details or anything, but me and my sister are just so not, I mean, like there's so much that goes into running a business.
Yeah.
And like when it comes to accounting and
bookkeeping,
all of these things, like the way that, you know, like certain things that, whoa, did you hear that?
No.
I was like certain things and my tongue like made a fart noise, but, just like certain things that you have to stay on top of when you have a business that obviously it's a learning process for us. Like mm-hmm. we're going through everything for the first time, and Dan is really good at all of this stuff. Like I feel like Dan will either hear or read something and he remembers it forever, but he also is just really good at grasping the concept of things.
He also has like just general knowledge of like a lot of random stuff that like you wouldn't normally
but he's
have.
Also interested in a lot of things, right? Like I think for us it's not even that we don't grasp the concept of a lot of things. I think that when, like, at least for me personally, I don't know, like maybe you're different, but if I'm just like genuinely not interested in something, it takes me so much longer to understand.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way because I was the same way in school. Like I would really excel at the subjects that I was interested in, and then the ones that I wasn't interested in, I just like did not get.
Yeah,
like Dan was explaining something to me before when we were upstairs and I was like, I don't understand. And
he
had to explain,
Alex,
like,
when
three
he
times.
Was when he was explaining something to me in particular, I like realized that I zoned out and that's why I was like, you're gonna have to explain this to me again because like I'm just not gonna remember. But really in my head I was like, I just zoned out because I don't care.
Oh, Kyla.
But I should care.
You should care about that.
But like, it's so not interesting to me.
Yeah, but it's stuff that you'll need to know.
Like, and I'm like really trying to understand. I think that like as time goes on, the more we talk about it, the more experience we get, it's just going to be so like almost like common sense to me, second nature.
Oh, yeah. I think my biggest issue is I don't like feeling stupid. And sometimes when people talk to me about something that I know nothing about, I'm not just talking about Daniel, but like anyone in general that's explaining something to me, if I don't understand like three of the words in their sentence, then it's like I feel embarrassed to be like, wait, I actually don't understand at all what you're saying because I don't even know what those words mean. And then I sound really dumb and I feel embarrassed. And like normally people would just be like, oh, like let me explain it to you really quick. But like growing up, I've always like had some people be like, oh my God, you're so stupid, or like you're such a ditz, or you're such a, you know, and I'm like, no, this is how I learn. But I also need to know what those words mean because right now you're talking finances and I never studied finance. So like your terms that you're talking about, I don't know what the fuck that means. What is that word?
I know. But it's also like such a it's like a niche, right?
Yeah.
With finance, it's all numbers and like dealing with like the bank and stuff like that, businesses and like the way things operate. And if you just either don't ever have conversations about it, or you didn't go to school for that, I think it's like very normal to just not know what that means, what certain words mean. But
I just have to be better at like just being asking the questions like, what does that mean, instead of not asking because I'm scared to sound stupid.
And it's like you would rather the like risk sounding stupid as opposed to just
not knowing,
and then it like bites us in the ass in the future. I know that happens to me a lot too, but like these things are important. Like,
yeah,
we really do need to know this stuff. And then I also have another business, and so I'm learning everything as I go for that business, and it's just a lot. And there's so much that you have to pay for.
Yeah.
Things are so expensive.
Well, owning a business is once you start to make money from a business, it takes a long time. Like a lot of people do know this. I was surprised, actually. We got a lot of messages from people saying, I actually understand what it's like to run a small business. Not that they have before, but they know someone who has, or someone in their family has. And like, not even giving advice, just like, I totally understand where you're coming from. Like, it's not an easy thing. It's not something that is just going to generate a ton of money. You know, it's a very time consuming, long term process. But it's something that we've always wanted to do. And we've seen our family go through it.
Yeah.
For me, it was more like, when I started my business in 2015 and I incorporated and I like, you know, was really like learning a lot of the ropes for the first time, and Dan knew everything. And I was like, I don't know how you know this stuff. But I remember when we were talking with the accountant about paying me and Dan for our personal, like if we should pay us dividends or salary. And I was like, I didn't even know that. I was like, what is the, I don't know.
I've heard of dividends, but I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah. So like, I remember when we were setting that up, and it's honestly all for like tax purposes. It's a whole big thing. But like at the beginning, I had no idea what that meant. Now when Dan talks about it, it's like second nature to me. I understand like everything, because we've been doing this now for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
But let's say for someone like you, that's just starting your own freelance company and you're just starting Tomo, you're just starting all of it. You're starting from where I did in 2015. You have no idea.
But also you're lucky because you've had Dan since the very beginning, who knew a lot about, well, okay, he was saying when we were talking before that like he was also learning, like you guys had no idea what you're doing at first either, but the difference is he takes interest in it.
Yeah.
And he grasps on to like the concept of things, and he'll do research, and he's like very on top of it. So you have him as help. I don't, like, I'm literally doing everything on my own.
Too. You can ask him questions.
I know, but it's just sometimes I feel like annoying, or like the way that I am too is that
you want to learn.
It's yes, I want to learn, but I feel like I would annoy Dan because I don't pick up on things as quickly as he does when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like he would get a little impatient.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he does get impatient with me, but I'm also his wife. So I feel like it's a little different. Like someone that's not like he's not in a relationship with, he probably would have more patience.
Yeah, I know. But you told me that when, because remember I asked you a question, I'm not going to say what it was, and you were dying of laughter because you were like, oh my God, I literally asked Dan this last week. And he was like, how do you and Kyla like not know this? Like, you guys should have had this figured out. Like, what the, like, he got like really upset.
Well, because he, this is what Dan does. He wants me to learn, right?
Yeah.
So he makes me do things because he doesn't want to just do it all for me. So there's sometimes where he's like, I don't understand how you just blindly went into just like starting something without doing any research. And I'm like, but I did do research. It's just things that I'm learning for the first time.
And I think that's also just like, you know, it's going to happen regardless. Yeah. It's inevitable. Like, you're never going to know everything when you open up a company. And, like, things that are common sense to him to research, it's not common sense for us.
I know, exactly. But he is right in the sense of, like, I should have done more research and I should have looked into it instead of just, like, relying on him. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that comes from, like, years and years of me relying on him for certain things. Like, you don't do that to him. So he's not going to, like... Anyways.
Yeah, but I'm sure the questions. No, I'm sure the questions I would ask, like,
do you annoy yourself?
Do I annoy myself?
Yeah, when you ask your questions.
No.
So then why would it be annoying for someone else?
Yeah, but it's just embarrassing. Like, I'm sure like there's going to be questions I'm going to ask, and he's probably going to be like, oh my God, she should know this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, this is what I always tell people when I ask questions and they respond.
Not that I think Dan is like mean or anything.
No, but like there have been times where I've like asked even just like friends or just people in my life a question, and they're like, how do you not know this? And I'm like, if I knew the answer, I wouldn't be asking the question. Like, yeah. I don't just ask a question to ask a question. I ask because I don't know.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't want to feel stupid for not knowing. And it's not something that a quick Google search can answer. Because, realistically, when I have questions about stuff, I just Google it because it's right there at my fingertips. But specific things that have to do with, like, niche subjects that
I know and like knows. Sometimes it's like, how do you even word the question because it's so specific?
I know.
And I'll be figuring out different ways to word it and like for Google, and it's just like there's no answer.
There's a lot of stuff you just have to learn by trial and error. Like, that's what I've come to realize with owning a business, is a lot of it is trial and error and just making sure you're doing everything as proper as possible. And you're keeping on top of your bookkeeping and your
finances. But, like, thank God for Dan.
Yeah, and thank God that he really has the patience for us because, I mean, he, like he said, it takes 5 minutes a month to just, like, help us out.
But also, here's the thing. Yes, we're business owners, but our passion is really, we're a lot more creative. I mean, I think that I really have a business mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Also, but like when it comes to numbers, like I'm very much into marketing and being creative.
Yeah.
But when it comes to numbers and all of the nitty gritty stuff that comes with owning a business,
that's why you need an accountant, a lawyer, and a financial advisor. Yeah.
And so if you're someone listening to this podcast and you can relate to that, where it's like you have always wanted to own your own business and you're very creative and you love marketing and you love filming content and editing and all of that stuff, but you have absolutely no idea about finances, accounting, any of that stuff, like, don't worry, you're not alone.
And also you'll figure it out because we did. And, you know, it's all a learning experience. And to me, I think it's really fascinating and really interesting and helps me grow as a business owner and an individual person, because I feel a lot, I like learning things. I feel smarter. Yeah. And by asking questions and quote unquote feeling stupid by asking questions, it's only going to benefit me because I'm going to get the answer. And if I still don't understand the answer, I'm going to ask again, can you please explain it to me like I'm 5 years old?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the best way I can do it, because I was never the kind of person that would raise my hand in class, A, because I was shy, and B, because I didn't want to sound stupid.
Okay, me too. I remember so many times being in school and I knew the answer to something, but I wouldn't raise my hand because I was like, what if I'm so far off and everyone starts laughing? Because the amount of times throughout my life where I would say something, I would either ask a question or I would just say something, and then people would, or someone would just make me feel so stupid. And in my mind, I was always like, I mean, sometimes it still happens to this day, but if I explain myself or my thought process, then I've realized so many times that the person just completely misunderstood me and like they're actually really stupid because it's so, like they just like complete, it went right over their head.
Yeah.
And also, the amount of times my answer was right, but I just didn't raise my hand because I was just doubting myself. Yeah. And then I was like, fuck, I should have raised my hand.
Yeah.
But like, then you overthink.
I remember there was one specific time in Sec 1. So that's grade 7. Math class. Okay. First of all, my math, awful. Like, what's 2 + 2? I don't even know. It's just so, my math was so bad. I just did not understand it. And so we're learning about, what was that BEMDAS, BEDMAS thing?
Oh, yeah.
Brackets, exponent. It was like the way to figure out a formula. And you learn that around that age. And I remember being asked a question by the teacher of like, oh, what's the next step? Because he liked to get the class involved. And this was like my actual nightmare because I was already lost on step one. I had no idea what he was talking about. Oh, but shit. Instead of raising my hand being like, sir, I don't understand, because I felt like I was the only person who didn't understand, you know, because I just felt like not smart. I didn't say anything. And so he just kept going down the steps, whatever. And then he got to me and he was like, oh, Alexandra, what's the next step? And I just randomly pulled a fucking thing out of my ass and said something. And he was like, no, you're not listening. You're not listening, are you? And everyone started laughing. And I was so embarrassed because it's like I was listening. I wasn't like not paying attention.
Yeah.
But I just was too shy to say I didn't understand. And now I feel even more embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because you're calling me out for something that A, wasn't even true. And you're embarrassing me and making me feel even more stupid.
Yeah.
Instead, like if I was a teacher and I got and a kid said that and it was wrong, I would have been like, nice try. And like,
you good know effort, what? You know what here. Teachers can do? Like, whatever subject it is, like, as you're going along, like, have some kind of way where you could address the class. Like, every step is everyone following along? Or, like, do you guys have any questions? Like,
teachers do that, you know? But again, I would still be too shy. That was my issue.
Okay, you were shy no matter what.
I was really shy. And also, if they said, does everyone understand? And I'm the only one that puts my hand up saying I don't, again, I would feel stupid. And I just didn't like that feeling of feeling stupid.
Also, like, in hindsight, because now we're adults and it's been how long since we're not in school? It's so, like, I could have all these, like, solutions of what, you know, you could have done or what, like, teachers would do, whatever. But, like, when you're actually, like, in the moment.
And you're that young.
And you're that young. Confidence. And, like, kids are so mean in high school.
I know. Well, people are mean in general. But, like, I picture our cousin Sophia. She had, like, the most confidence out of any single... She still has so much confidence. But she would be the person raising her hand in class, answering all the questions, you know, like, that kid. And even if she was wrong, she probably wouldn't care.
Yeah.
But also, she was really smart, just naturally in school. And I wasn't. I had to work really, really hard in most subjects other than, like English and history and things that, like... I enjoyed,
yeah,
but all the science, math, French, like everything, I just felt,
you know what,
so bad.
I struggled a lot in high school, but and Seja, but in university, and I always thought that, like, oh, maybe I have like a learning disability, or, you know, maybe I'm just not that smart and whatever. But like when I was in university, maybe it's because I was a little bit older, but I did so well in school. And I took a biology class, don't ask why, as like an out of program elective.
Just trying to get credits.
Yeah. I chose biology, I don't know. Like I struggled so much in high school in chemistry. Like I would have to study so much more than the average student and I would still only pass by like 65%, you know? In university, don't get me wrong, I studied my ass off and I felt like I had no life that semester. And we were only getting graded on the midterm and the final exam.
Oh my God, that's stressful.
I scored the highest out of the entire class on the midterm.
Wow.
There was like 200 kids in my class.
Nice.
I got an 89 and the class average, I think, was like a 74 or something like that. So I like really got above the class average. And then on the final, I think I had an 85% or something like that. The class average was like a 70. And I was like one, like the top like five.
That's awesome.
How crazy is that? And I did so well in a lot of classes.
But you also probably were really interested in the subjects you were taking.
Like I was very interested, but I do remember it was definitely a struggle. Like, cause there was just so much to biology. It was like every single chapter and every single topic that we would go over was just like never ending. Like there was so much to it and you had to memorize so much. But yeah, I was definitely more interested. I think I just needed to like mature, because in high school in Sejup, well, I mean Sejup was one of the worst time periods of my life, but in high school, like I was just so young and immature. Like I could not care less about school.
See, I was the opposite. I cared so much about school in high school. And I had tutors and I tried so hard and I would get like a 75 and be so happy in like the subjects that I was struggling in. The ones that I was good at naturally, like I was just good at, you know, I didn't need help. Yeah. But other ones, like I would really, really, really struggle. And it was really frustrating that there was people like Daniel that would sleep in class and not study and get 98%.
See, I was never able to wrap my mind around people like that.
Because he has a photographic memory. He says he doesn't, but I really think he does.
It's always the people with photographic memory. I remember my best friend from high school, Dana, she would have like such amazing grades.
Yeah.
And like, she told me, she's like, I have a photographic memory. And I was like, but what does that mean? And she's like, I could read a page once and just like remember like the words on the page and like where they were. And
okay,
like,
so maybe he doesn't have that. He has a memory where he just, once he hears something, he just remembers it forever.
Because he's actually paying attention. No. He doesn't have a million other things going on in his
head. No, he does. This is what's so confusing to me, is that he's able to multitask and he's able to understand and retain information. Like, I swear to God, I don't understand how his brain works. It fascinates me.
Do you have ADD?
Me?
Yeah.
No, because I'm able to focus and hone in on something.
Okay.
I'm not able to multitask. I'm not able to, like, I don't think of a million different things at once.
Yeah, it's just like things that you're not interested in.
No, I just, if I'm not interested in it, it's very hard for my brain to want to learn it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is stupid. But even though I know it's not stupid, I'm just like, it's too, I feel too dumb. And then I put myself down and I have no confidence. Whereas, I mean, it's not like that anymore.
Yeah.
But as a kid growing up in elementary school, I felt that way. And in high school, I felt that way. And I remember mom helping, like, she was trying to help, right? Getting me tutors and, like, trying to do whatever she could to, like, help me succeed in school. And I passed. I did fine. I actually, like, really did well. And there was a few semesters I would get even the honors program. Like, I was very, very proud of myself, but I worked really hard. And then when I started dating Dan, and I was like, he was like, oh, yeah, I'd sleep through class all the time and, like, get 98%. I'm like, but how is that benefiting you? Like, I don't understand. Like, I used to think in my head, well, you never learned how to study or do anything, so, like, that's going to screw you on later on in life. But no, because he has such an amazing memory that when someone tells him something, he just remembers it forever. That's, or he insane. Watches one YouTube video and just remembers
sometimes
it forever.
Sometimes I have to ask the same question so many times because I'm just not interested. So, like, if I ask the question the first time and the person tells me, it's not that I'm not paying attention, but, like, their answer just, like, it leaves my brain. It doesn't stick.
Yeah.
So I have to ask again.
Yeah.
and I, my biggest pet peeve is when people are like, oh, but you just have selective memory. And it's like, but I mean, that makes it sound like mean in a sense where I just don't care what you're talking about, so I'm not going to remember it.
But maybe that shouldn't be the definition. Maybe the definition should just be that, like, it's not that you don't care. I mean, I guess it is technically that you don't care, but it's like, it's not something that you are automatically
interested in. There's things that I do care about and I want to remember, but I just don't, you know?
Because you're not naturally interested in it. Like, for example, when I was younger, I was obsessed with, like, movies and scripts and, like, being an actor. Like, that's when I was, like, 11, 12, 13, I was obsessed with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would memorize scripts from movies and, like, memorize them. I would write out the script from the movie, memorize it, act it in my own way, like, in my bedroom. Like, that's just what I love to do. Random. No one else in my life did something like that. I was just, like, very obsessed with that kind of stuff and, like, wanting to learn how to act and doing all that kind of stuff. But then memorizing things for a subject in school that I didn't really care, I couldn't memorize it. I would read the same paragraph over and over and over again, whereas I would read a script online of something that I would think was interesting and memorize it in, like, 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, like, what I was interested in. But then that also made me realize that I couldn't be a very good actor, because if I wasn't interested in what I was, like, acting, then how would I memorize it?
I also think that, okay, so I could be really bad with birthdays, like remembering birthdays. But there's certain people in my life, like, they'll tell me their birthday once and I remember it right away. And it's always
currently, like, they'll tell you.
Yeah.
It's not like you knew them from childhood.
Well, like, some people, it's like I would know them for years, and, like, no matter what, I would just never remember their birthday.
Interesting.
Like, there's some relatives that we have that, like,
I don't know anyone's birthday.
I've known them my entire life and I just don't remember their birthdays. But then I'll have, like, someone that I'm meeting for the first time I've known them, like, for barely any time at all. They tell me their birthday, and it's not that I care more to remember their birthday, but for some reason that date
sticks.
Has, like, some kind of, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, for example, my friend, she's, like, one of my best friends now, but she had told me her birthday one of, like, the first few times we hung out, and normally I forget, but her birthday is February 2nd, which is 2 months after my birthday, so it's easy to remember.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's like there almost has to be
a reason,
like an association to the information that I'm getting.
The only people's birthdays I know are you, mom and dad, Daniel, my son, and myself.
And you don't know anyone else's
birthday? A few friends from childhood that I like memorized their birthday and their home phone numbers because I had to like know.
Okay, I literally know my first boyfriend's cell phone number from when I was like 13 years
but
old.
Like it's because those things you had to memorize in order to like get in contact with somebody, you know. But like those, the birthdays I remember just there, and they're not even my friends anymore because they're from childhood. But it's like my current friends, that's not true. I know Catherine's birthday, that's it. And I know Tessa's because it's Saint Jean Baptiste.
I had a friend get really really mad at me, this was like years ago, because I forgot her birthday. And yikes. I just completely forgot.
For me, I put everything in my calendar now, so I don't remember it in my brain, but I get reminders on.
You get reminders.
Yeah. Just because I don't want to forget people. It's not that, like, I literally cannot remember that. I know months. Okay, like, so-and-so's, their birthday month is April or, like, in the spring. Like, I know. I just don't know the exact dates. And even, I remember in February, it was Carrie's birthday, and I couldn't remember if it was February 20th or 22nd. Mm. And I was like, shit, if I text her today, it was the morning and it was the 20th. I was like, if I text her today and it's actually the 22nd, because I'd put it in my calendar for the 20th, but I'm like, I feel like I've made this mistake before where I've like mixed it up.
You could always message Tess.
Yes, I could have, but I just went on Facebook.
Yeah.
I never go on Facebook, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go check.
Facebook is always like such a good reminder.
I know. And then I was right. So I was like, okay.
Like there's just like some relatives that we have. And I'm just like, for some reason, I just can't remember. And like every single year, I'm like, oh, this person's birthday is in April. Like I literally would have never guessed.
Oh, I know our cousin Elu's birthday because it's the day after Christmas.
Yeah. Elu's. So I know Sophia's. I know Lauren's.
See, I don't know.
Anyone else? No idea.
I know.
I literally messaged Lauren the other day when one of our cousins in our group chat sent a video of the card that she got from Nono and Nonama. And I texted.
You think it was her birthday?
I texted Lauren and I was like, is it so-and-so's birthday today? And she's like, no, it's in June. I was like, oh.
But see, again, I knew her birthday was June. I just don't know the date. Mm. And I know a lot of our family members are born June, July.
Yeah.
Like we have a lot of June, July birthdays.
Yeah.
I feel like people have assumptions on other people all the time. It's just a natural human instinct. There's definitely things I think of other people when I meet them. And I'm sure, well, I know people think things of me. But I never liked the feeling of feeling stupid. And now I know I'm not stupid.
Yeah.
I know I'm smart and I know I bring a lot to the table. It's more about the confidence that I have.
Yeah, you have to believe in yourself. And like, I guess, like, feel worthy.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with work, actually going back on what we spoke about a few episodes ago and how I'm a perfectionist, mm-hmm. and how that kind of affects me with work.
Yeah.
I had a lot of people message me personally that mm-hmm. were saying they could relate to what I was saying. And part of being a perfectionist is putting all of your self-worth and your abilities into the hands of like the people that work with you, and especially like your managers and the people above you. And so if you're not getting like positive feedback all the time, you feel like you're not doing a good job or whatever. Or if someone says something to you that like rubs you in the wrong way, or you're receiving feedback that you don't necessarily like want to hear, you take it as I'm incompetent, I'm not good enough, I'm not good at what I do. You compare yourself to other people all the time. Mm-hmm. You take things very personally. And like you essentially just have these really unrealistic standards that you set for yourself that like you'll literally never achieve. Yeah. So it's like you're essentially setting yourself up for failure. Like you'll never be happy. So I've been talking about it a lot with my therapist, and she's giving me a lot of tools to use when something happens, and they're so helpful, and I feel like I've made so much progress already. I still have a ways to go, but I just feel a lot better. But when I grew up, like either having friends who were kind of condescending towards me, or people that would make me feel really stupid or whatever it was, I, because I didn't already have like good self-worth when I was younger, anything anyone would say to me would really, really affect me. Mm-hmm. And it's all mental at the end of the day, because now, and like now I'm really realizing how mental everything is, because now that I'm, you know, I know that I'm a perfectionist, because I used to think I just had anxiety and I had, you know, insecurities and whatnot, but my therapist made me realize like, no, actually Kyla, you're like textbook a perfectionist. Mm. And she sent me like a whole article to go through about what a perfectionist is, how they think, how they perceive information, how they feel about themselves, like all this stuff, like in depth. And I was reading through it and it felt so good, because I was like, holy crap, this is me to a T.
You felt heard.
Yeah. And so what was I saying again?
I don't know. You started talking about the fact that you were a perfectionist. Were you going to tie it into the fact?
Oh, that yeah. So now I what's made me realize that everything really is mental, and like your perspective and how you perceive information, because I've been using the tools that she's been giving me to work on like my perfectionist attitude and whatever. It's helped so much, because
good.
I'm still working with a lot of the same people, and no one's changed. But I just don't take things as personally anymore. Like, it's almost like I'm seeing things with like my blinders off, you know?
I feel like it's good that you have this therapist now, because a lot of the stuff are things that like I feel like people have been telling you, but you don't. Like, I'm in the same boat in the sense that, like, I'll take it a lot more seriously when a therapist tells me versus when, like, a friend tells me.
Yeah.
Type thing. Because I remember there was situations you would tell me in, like, your work environment, and I would be like, okay, but, like, not that you shouldn't feel that way, because, like, obviously feelings are valid, but, like, don't let that example make you feel this way, because that's just, you're giving it power now, when realistically, like, you have no control over the situation, and they're making it seem like you do when you actually don't.
Yeah.
And then I remember you had this therapy session, and you were kind of like, oh my God, you're so right with what you said, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because my therapist said this. And it's not that like I needed to be right in the situation. It's just more like you needed to have that professional person kind of explain it to you properly.
And it's also, I feel like when you turn to friends and family, it's not that like I don't value like anyone's opinion, but it's like you always kind of have in the back of your mind, like, well, of course you're going to tell me that like I'm venting to you, and like,
yeah,
you care about me and you want me to feel good. So you're going to tell me things, you know what I mean? To make me feel better.
Not me.
And it's not that.
Yeah. I mean, no. Yes, I do want to make you feel better. But in certain situations, I'm going to be honest with like, and like, I really didn't think it was warranted for them to be, or for this person or whatever, your job to be telling you something when I was like, that's not even your job. Like, don't let them make you feel bad for doing something when this is not your job.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't like trying to just make you feel better. I was like, genuinely, like, you're getting taken advantage of right now.
Oh, and it happens all the time. And that's another thing that's like, I have to set boundaries and stick to my boundaries. And, you know, if a client of mine doesn't like it, I just have to remind myself, like, it's just not my problem. Like, you know, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do a bunch of like work, extra work. That's not part of your contract, completely free of charge.
Yeah, no.
You know?
No.
So it's like, why, like, the fact that people even have the audacity to ask in the first place.
I know. Like, it's so crazy that, you know, we always talk about like, oh, maybe one day we'll hire an editor for the podcast, you know, eventually as we grow, whatever. I am never, ever going to ask someone to edit for us free of charge. Like, that is so weird to me. And then people will actually ask you that question. Like, oh, can you do this and this and this and this free of charge, though? It's like, what? And like, then they make you feel bad for saying no and having a boundary for that. No,
the worst is when, anyways, maybe I won't give this example, but like, there's just like so many different things that have happened, like not even just from freelancing, but just in general,
With work,
it always amazes me how much companies take advantage of their employees and how some managers will, by the way, I'm not talking about like the most recent place that I was working at, like
I think everyone who's listening could attest to what you're
I'm talking about, like the past,
because like every job I've had I've been taken advantage of,
and yeah, and like managers will, yeah, you know, like toxic managers, and just how condescending they can be and how manipulative and like micromanaging, controlling, like, or they power trip, and it's like, what are you trying to do here? Are you trying to like groom your employees to be scared?
You know what I would love to do an episode on?
What?
Positive things that managers have done. Because I would love to know the positives, because there are for sure have to be some. It's crazy. Every single supervisor manager I've had in the past, not everyone, but like there has always been one on my staff or above me or whatever that has been so toxic.
I know.
And I'm really curious to know the positive, because there must be positives. Like I had a supervisor one time at a job that was super, super, super understanding and nice and like personable and like there for the lower man type thing. Always sticking up for his employees, and got fired.
Wow.
And I was like,
and then it's always the toxic one that's promoted.
Yes. And I was shocked because everyone hated this person because they were so toxic. And then they got promoted because guess what? They were a little kiss ass.
Yeah.
And it was like,
that's what it
is. So frustrating.
It can be like someone who's so not cut out to be a manager, and they're not even good at being a manager.
No.
And they're not even really that good at their job.
And the company goes downhill when they manage. Because they're not good.
Yeah.
They just kiss ass really good.
Yeah. But that's like still confusing to me, because like the person above the manager is typically always the owner or the founder or whatever.
Depending on how big the company
or
is.
Or someone who should be in a position of really caring how the company does.
Yeah. Well, I think they do tend to realize.
So it's like, if you're realizing that, like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It's. There's been situations, because I've had a lot of jobs prior to my current career, and I've had a lot of shitty jobs. I've had a lot of good jobs, but there has always been one toxic person of
in
power
in every single company. Like, oh my gosh, do you think I could talk about my horrible boss?
No, I just wouldn't.
Anyways, all I'll say, guys, is that I have experienced one of the most toxic bosses in my entire life at a company I used to work at, like, a while back.
Yeah, it was really awful. I have to say, it was really awful. People are just so weird when they're in positions of power and they're not meant to be there and they're just running the show. It's like
they just power trip all of a sudden.
It happens so often. Like, even Dan and I right now are in a situation where we're being, like, someone is power tripping over us real hard. And this has happened a few times in our life where someone has tried to take advantage of us. And most people would just like bite the bullet and be like, they would settle, or they'd just be like, oh, whatever, it's no big deal. Like, okay, fine, just do X, Y, and Z. But like Dan and I are like really annoying. Like, we fight it, and we'll go to like the government or like the régie or like whatever it is to like literally file a lawsuit and like be like, no, you cannot do this. Because one thing I learned is that it's very, very expensive to actually sue someone for defamation, but it is free to threaten them.
Oh.
Not that I've never been sued for defamation or threatened to be sued for defamation. I just saw a TikTok of literally this guy saying that at the beginning of his TikTok, and I was like, that is so true. It is so expensive for companies to actually sue someone, but to threaten to sue someone, it's free. And like, there's been situations, not that we've ever been threatened to be sued, but we've been threatened to be like kicked out of a house, or like just what's the word I'm looking for, not exiled, what's it called when you're, oh my god, Kyla, when you're like kicked out of your home, exiled, executed, not those words. Evacuate? No, not evacuated. Oh my god, what is exempt? The word? No.
It doesn't start with an E, I don't think.
Oh my gosh. It's going to drive me crazy. I have to call Daniel right now. Evicted.
Evicted.
That's what it is. Okay, thanks. Yeah. So it was a freaking E word. Yeah. So we're, someone was trying to evict us from our home illegally. And they were putting up a big fight. And normally I feel like people wouldn't have the time to like fight it. But we were like, this is not correct. You're not doing this legally. So we literally went to the Régie de logement. And they got a letter saying that like we would take them to court. Because it was against the actual Quebec law of like what they were doing. And so then they pulled back and they were like, oh, sorry. And then they did it the right way. They gave us time. And it was like, you can't evict us within a month. Just tell us, oh, by the way, we need you out next month. It's not how it works where we live.
Yeah.
So we did it the proper way. But it was like annoying that we had to go that route. And Dan was like, you know, there's a lot of people that would just like not fight it because they don't have the time. Yeah. But he's like, I don't care if we don't have the time. We're fighting this because it's not right.
Yeah.
And there's just so many situations that we've been in and I feel like people are in that they just get taken advantage of. And because they either don't have the money to fight something or they just don't have the time or resources.
People are such bullies.
I know. It's really frustrating. It's really frustrating.
I think that's my biggest like pet peeve in life are people that take advantage of kind souls or like people who are more genuine. Like I was literally having this conversation with Dad last night.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think it's always been really hard for me to be fake, especially these last few years. Like I just really have no patience for bullshit. And I feel like I've gotten significantly worse at hiding my, even just like through my facial expressions. Like, there's just certain times where someone will say something or do something or they'll be complaining about something or someone. And sometimes I won't call the person out and say like, well, you do this. Yeah. Like, you know, you're complaining about something, but you do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you freaking do that to me all the time. You know? But I'll just kind of say like, yeah, I know, like a lot of people are like that. I just kind of walk away, you know, or like you'll just see on my face, like I'm just, I don't have the energy for it.
Yeah.
And it's because so many people are just, maybe they're just completely oblivious and really not self-aware. It could really be that. But there's also times where I'm like, you're not that stupid. Like you're just really thinking about yourself and how you could benefit from a situation and you're not considering anyone else.
Yeah. Well, this episode, we had a plan originally to talk about something and then we just went off the rails on this, but I actually really like the subject.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would be really interesting to open up a discussion about it if you guys want to DM us on Instagram. It's probably the best way to get a hold of us. Or if there's like something business related, you can email us. But I think it's really interesting to start this conversation about power tripping, feeling like, you know, you're quote unquote stupid in situations mm-hmm. or the confidence that you have in these work environments or school or whatever it is that you have been in or did do or are in. And if you have any positive stories about a supervisor or a manager or a boss, whatever, if you want to share that with us, I think that would be a really fun episode.
Yeah.
But we love you guys so much and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.